We hear from the scriptures and from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where you might hear echoes of some of our conversation that we've just had. Thank you, Dawn.
2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 to 12. Yet we who have this spiritual treasure are like common clay in order to show that the supreme power belongs to God, not to us. We are often troubled, but not crushed. Sometimes in doubt, but never in despair. There are many enemies, but we are never without a friend. And though badly hurt at times, we are not destroyed. At all times, we carry in our mortal bodies the death of Jesus, so that his life may be seen in our bodies. Throughout our lives, we are always in danger of death for Jesus' sake, in order that his life may be seen in this mortal body of ours. This means that death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. May God help us to understand this message from his word. Amen.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now I understand what you tried to say to me and how you suffered for your sanity, how you tried to set them free. They would not listen. They did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now. For they could not love, for love was true. And when no hope was left in sight on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you. So sang Don McLean in 1971 in his tribute to the brilliant yet troubled Vincent van Gogh. Treasures in jars of clay, the Apostle Paul wrote. The verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that Dawn read, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church here, and he's talking about all that Christ has done for us, but it's as if he says to them, don't get ahead of yourself here, though. Remember your place in the world. We are jars of clay, ordinary, everyday, unadorned pots of clay. And as Eugene Peterson says, or as he puts verse 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. Treasure in jars of clay, so that there's a reminder that it's God and not us. Jars of clay, particularly in the day of Jesus, they were very ordinary things. Everyday pots, but they were very fragile. It didn't take much for them to break. And we have accounts in the Gospels, including the time when someone brought a clay jar, an alabaster jar full of perfume. And to get that out, you needed to smash the top off. And then to get that out. They're ordinary, everyday pots, and yet they're very fragile. And Paul says in these verses that God's treasure is within us. But we're still subject to the changes of human life. the weaknesses and the pains that witness to our fragility. Paul goes on to describe the paradox that exists within this, that the paradox of our own weakness and fragility being mixed and intermingled with God's glory in us. He says that we're pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, that is, that there's times when we struggle to understand, but we're not despairing. He says there are times when we're given a really tough time because we're associated with Jesus, that he talks about persecution there, but we're not abandoned by God in the midst of that. We're knocked down, but as the song says, we get up again. We're knocked down, but we rise again. And this is where he's pointing to the life of Jesus in us. The life of Jesus in us. We're knocked down, but we rise again. And Paul says that this treasure, this life of Jesus, is revealed in us in the midst of our fragility. We have treasure in jars of clay. Treasure in jars of clay. Russ Ramsey, who is an author, he's also a pastor in the States, and he's written, including two in regards to the connection between art and faith. He's been a fan of Vincent van Gogh for over 30 years, and he tells one time back in the 1990s of not far from where he lived, there was a Van Gogh exhibition that came through and was displayed. There were a few other works as well by people who were inspired by Vincent. And as you went through and looked at the exhibition, you exited through the gift shop, which happens most places around. And he says that there are posters and postcards, particularly related to some of the art that was being exhibited. But it also included some items in the gift shop that made light of the episode of Van Gogh's cutting off his ear. He said there was a thermal coffee mug that had Van Gogh's portrait on the side with his bandaged ear, that had an explanatory note that went with it, that when it said, the note said, when you pour in a hot beverage, you can watch the famous post-impressionist ear disappear. Easy Van come, easy Van go, it said. It said it broke his heart to see it, and that he's still angry 30 years later. Because it's very witty. It's really quite witty. It's quite funny. Until it isn't. You know? Until you step back and you hear the story of Vincent and the story of his depression, his turmoil, of his hopes, and the ridicule that came his way from the people around him. It's funny until we think of the people that we know, maybe even us, that have had similar struggles. Russ Ramsey goes on to say that, and I quote, "For most of us, our greatest shame and our deepest hurts are closely guarded secrets known only to a few, if anyone, and we protect these parts of ourselves, not because they're shameful, but because they're sacred." In reference to this terrible incident where Vincent cuts off his ear, Russ Ramsey said, "It shows us that in the end, we are not our worst moments. That in the end, we are not our biggest failures, and it teaches us the sacred work of stewarding another's pain. That we are not our biggest failures. And when I think about that, that's part of what we looked at back in June when we looked at the encounters with Jesus that many people had. And as I mentioned these, we go, well, we know these people by their pain, by their need, their need to be whole. Zacchaeus, who we met, and he has this encounter of grace with Jesus. The thief on the cross, the man with leprosy, the woman that's brought before Jesus caught in adultery, the woman who has this chronic illness for 12 years who reaches out and touches. We know them because of their pain and their need and their need to be whole. But ultimately, they're not known by their failures. We know them because somewhere in this story, I encouraged us to recognize our story. That somewhere in their story is Vincent's story, is our story. Pain, sorrow, affliction, failure, turmoil. Within a short time of this ear incident, where Vincent severs part of his ear, Vincent has a severe breakdown and he's taken to an asylum. What in those days, and probably not that long ago, was referred to as a lunatic asylum. There was actually a petition from some of the people in his community that that happened, and he was taken. He continues to paint while he's there, and he was prolific in that 10-year period, and particularly the last two to three years of his life. He painted prolifically. And it's extraordinary that we have access to a lot of his work. This sermon's not about mental health per se. But given Vincent's history with depression, his erratic behaviour in the last few years of his life, his breakdowns, and his spending time in this asylum, and that tragically he ends his life at the age of 37, I do want to make a brief comment. I'd be confident in saying that everyone in the room this morning knows someone who has or is struggling with their mental well-being. I'd be confident saying every one of us knows someone. Might even be us. It's a tough space to be in, as well as to care for someone in that space. And as I've said previously, a relationship with Jesus doesn't mean that life will be a bed of roses. It's not as if we come to Jesus and all is well, and that we're fantastic. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. But other times not. How we wish that it did. How we wish it was plain sailing when we have faith in Jesus. But that's not how it is. And that includes our mental health. Bible passages such as the one that we read this morning in 2 Corinthians 4 and in the verses that follow bring some perspective and some hope to us as followers of Jesus. And we do well to sit with these verses and reflect upon that. when Paul says that we are perplexed but not crushed, and all these references. For there is peace that comes, there is wholeness, there is progress that can come, but for many the struggle remains and help's needed along the way, professionally and also from the community of people around us. This is a Lynn Roulin, who was the local postman. He was a dear friend of Vincent. In fact, after the when Vincent cuts off his ear in the days that follow, Joseph is one of the key people there. Many of us will know that Theo, Vincent's brother, and he were very close, very close. Theo lived in another part, another city. Theo comes for a day or two to visit Vincent, but then he heads back home. He's just got engaged. Theo has just got engaged, and he heads back to his fiancée and continues to have communication with Vincent. But Joseph Roulin keeps Theo updated on how Vincent's going, continues to visit him in hospital initially and then other times. And this is a painting that Vincent did in 1888 of him. Theo couldn't be there all the time. And sometimes that's how it goes for us as well, as we look to balance the various responsibilities that we have. And as Russ Ramsey says, in regards to all of this, it's a hard world and we need to be gentle. We need to be gentle. Just an aside, I think I made reference to this last year. I was talking about something I can't remember now, but it's actually extraordinary that Vincent painted this self-portrait. Why would he choose to paint this, which shows one of a moment of deep weakness and flaws for him? But he did it. And we can learn a bit from that as well. As I said earlier on, that quote from Russ Ramsey, that we're not ultimately the failures that we think people see in us, that we are much, much more than that. About a month ago, when I did a service out at Iona, I think Rosemary gave me this packet of sunflower seeds. And it's to do with, it's Giving Day, a day to remember. Garden is a special place for someone living with dementia. Plant these sunflower seeds in yours today and watch them bloom brightly this summer. So now it's warming up a little bit, so these will get planted in probably the next week or two. I'll put them in. One of the great things about living in central Queensland 20 years ago was that there was a certain time of year when you could drive down the highway and you would drive for kilometres and you would see this. Well, not that, but you'd see hectares and hectares of sunflowers. And it was an extraordinary sight. You would just drive, and it's not only central Queensland, but other parts, and many of you would have driven past this, of where when they're in full bloom, it's an extraordinary sight to see sunflowers. And part of the thing about sunflowers is that they follow the sun. That when the head of the sunflower follows the sun. And how extraordinary, really. I haven't opened this up here, but what's actually in here, Rosemary? There we go. Now, can you see those? They're pretty a bit hard to see, but gee whiz, when they're in flower, you can see them. There is a treasure that's hidden in one of these. The treasure that you'll see. But for that to happen, these need to be planted in the ground, or as Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it doesn't bear fruit. The treasure that's hidden in this little seed becomes that. Paul says we have treasure that's hidden in jar clays, and what a treasure it is, this life of Christ that's revealed in us. Sunflowers follow the sun. They follow the sun. I want to finish with some verses from Hebrews chapter 12, and they're there somewhere. It's where Paul writes, and he says, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who endured the cross for the joy that lay ahead for him. As the sunflowers follow the sun, let us follow the sun. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. I invite us to sing, and as we do, our offering will be received and we'll stand in the last verse. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I invite us to remain seated and then to stand in the last verse.